but I didn't really see that. What you do?
Source committee meeting order. Today is May the 10th. It's 8:35. In attendance today, we have Representative Herman, Representative Cato, Representative Jenkins, Representative Wallace, myself, Representative Schultz. And Representative Pierce. Sorry. First bill we're going to bring up is H.J.R. 36. And it's a very simple resolution, and basically, in essence, it lines 20 through 25 say everything that needs to be said. And it has to do with the asking the federal agent, Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, to expedite the issuance of the final environmental impact statement and license for the Bradley Lake Hydro Project. And I would entertain a motion to move that resolution from committee.
Mr. Chairman, I would move H.J.R. 36, licensing of the Bradley Lake Hydroelectric Project, out of committee with the recommendation.
Are there any objections? Hearing none. Pardon? Navarre's couldn't make it. H.J.R. 36.
Yes,
has passed from committee with individual recommendation. Second bill we're going to bring up is Senate Bill 232. And here to testify on that is Senator Farringham.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I know that you're rushed this morning, so if you prefer, I'll just answer some questions other than to say that this takes care of a problem that we have with some leases on the slope at the time they were leased had work permits, work orders on them. And it gives the authority for the commissioner under certain circumstances to extend up to 1 2-year period. And it's needed up there. I'll answer any questions you have.
We also have Bob Maynard here. Maybe you'd like to join Senator Farringham.
When there's not over a half a page, I figure most of you know what it says.
For the record, my name is Robert Maynard. I'm an Assistant Attorney General for the Department of Law. We look at that bill, and we see no constitutional or other legal problems with the bill.
Are there questions from the committee? Representative Wallace.
Yes. Excuse my ignorance, but would you explain to me what a work commitment is?
During a certain period of time, back in around Sale 31 and others, they had work, certain work schedules that had to be done that were put in the contracts by regulation. They don't do that anymore, okay? And these made it very difficult for some of them due to trying to get the gravel in time, trying to get the permits in time, and about 28 months to work to get the work done. I think the commissioner's also standing by.
Yeah. Are there additional questions on this Senate Bill 232?
No.
They're on the teleconference.
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
This is Kay Brown in Anchorage. Can you hear me?
Yes, Kay, we do have a question. They would like to, Representative Herman has a question for you.
Excuse me, I am having a great deal of difficulty hearing the conversation. I'm only catching a tiny bit of the conversation down there.
It's probably due to the fact that we're not using our switches here. So maybe we'll start coming in now.
Thank you.
Yeah, Kay, this is Representative Herman. I have a question. I just wanted to know your position on the legislation, Senate Bill 232.
Yes, we don't see a problem with this, Representative Herman. Since we spoke about this bill in the committee in the Senate, I've had the opportunity to look at the situation in war, and it is quite similar to the provision that exists now in the regulation. So it is not identical to it, but it is somewhat the same, and we don't have a problem. We think this is a fine approach to addressing the situation of when a lessee cannot fulfill their commitment. I'm not sure that it changes existing law that much, since we do have a regulation, which I would be happy to read to the committee if you desire.
Thank you, Kay.
Any additional questions at this time?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to move SB 232, minimum work commitments in oil and gas leases, out of committee with individual recommendations.
Are there objections to that? Hearing none, Senate Bill 232, minimum work commitments, has moved from the Resource Committee with individual recommendation. Next bill that we have before us is Senate Bill 35, an act creating the Nelchina Public Use Area. I don't have all of
them. Senate Bill 232 has passed by the committee. Did you wish to stay on?
Okay. Pardon?
Okay, thank you.
Okay. We're off the teleconference. Is that correct? Okay. At this time, I'd like to have Dave Stankwith go down to the other end and explain the differences here for the sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 35.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dave Stankwith, committee staff of the Resources Committee. The Nalchina Public Use Area, as it came over from the Senate, was, for the most part, a pretty clean bill. I went over the bill with the drafter, and he suggested that it would be more appropriate if this legislation was not intended to become or create a park, that we put it under Chapter 23 in under AS 4123, and specifically say Public Use Area, Article 1. He also indicated that we should state somewhere in the legislation that if it's not the intent of the sponsors to have this managed as a park unit, that we say that. Both of those changes have been put into this legislation, this CS, before the committee. The changes, starting on page 1, other changes have been highlighted or underlined. The first one has to do with subparagraph 1, which simply states a reason why the fish and wildlife habitat areas are being protected. It just further explains that. On number 2, the word use was changed to enjoyment so that it would not seem as redundant with the rest of the purposes. Number 4 is a rather important one. In talking with DNR, they indicated that there's over 40 meetings and 3 years' worth of work done on the Susitna Area Plan and a great deal of money spent, and that if we put the Susitna Area Plan reference in the purpose, it will allow them to use much of the work that they've done already in setting up a plan for this legislation, and therefore cut the costs to the point where they feel they don't have a lot of planning left to do. In conjunction with that, the 3-year requirement that was in Section 3 of the original bill at the very end was taken out because there, with most of the work done, there's no point in requiring that they do it within 3 years. On page 2, the first line, gives the commissioner the ability after public hearings to designate incompatible uses within the Nelchina public use area. In line 19, in a manner, replaces language that did say as long as it occurs, and the drafter felt that this was cleaner and meant the same thing, basically technical. The next change, the commissioner may not manage the public use area as a unit of the state park, has been discussed, and that expressly gives direction to the commissioner on how it's not to be managed. Page 3, that change simply takes the commissioner of DNR out of the fishing and hunting business, which DNR has no problem with, and states that the commissioner doesn't have the authority, the commissioner of DNR. However, on the next paragraph that deals with access, the commissioner would have all the authority necessary to control access and terminate access if it's not compatible with the purposes on the first page. The major change in the House Resources CS versus the Senate CS can be found on the bottom of page 3, and that's the compatibility of uses language. What this clause does is say that if you have been traditionally using this area for a use that the commissioner says you can't do anymore, then we put the burden on DNR to simply say where, when, and why you can't do this anymore. And it's I guess, an effort to make the departments responsive to any activity they cut out. They simply have to explain where, when, and why they're cutting it out. Finally, on page 4, the language that had been in the CS said, are reserved from all uses incompatible. And that being in the negative, we changed it to say, are reserved for all uses compatible. Mr. Chairman, those are the changes that are in the House Resources CS. And as far as questions go, Senator Cotulla's aide, Jenny, is here. Representative Larson's aide, Ed Grasser's here. This is entirely within their district, and I guess part of it is also in your district, Mr. Chairman. And Mayor Dorothy Jones is here. They're aware of all these changes, have concurred with them, and I would feel it would be more appropriate for questions to be asked of them, technically, than me. They know more about the bill.
Thank you. Just for the record, I'd like to, I just received a note from Ron Larson. He has a commitment up in finance at this time. He said, just want you to know that we are in full support of the bill along with the amendments made in it. So that was from Representative Larson. We have several people, quite a few people here, to testify on this legislation. We have Phil Holdsworth. Yes, Phil, would you like to comment on it?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Phil Holdsworth, and I unfortunately have to wear two hats today. The Miners Association has always felt that there was no need for this legislation, that it would the area was being managed on a multiple-use basis, and so basically there was no need for it. They have had an opportunity, however, to review the amendments that you have to the bill, and they feel that it is a marked improvement over the original bill. The Resource Development Council, whose hat I wear this morning, is fully in support of the bill. I've discussed the committee's changes to the bill, and they are in support of the bill. That's my statement.
Thank you. Dorothy, I'm gonna ask that, I'll come back to Scott. But there was another time that you showed up at a committee meeting, and because of time constraints, you didn't have a chance to testify.
I have plenty of time today.
Okay, I'll take Scott Heidelman. Yeah. No.
He's trying to get out the back door. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Scott Heilman. I'm Executive Director of the Alaska Environmental Lobby. Just to be real brief, we've been following in support of the idea of the Nalchina public use area from its inception. Actually, it's been around for a few years. And we're in support of the bill in its present form. I think this is probably the first time I've ever been agreeing with the Resource Development Council, so I'm going to mark this on my calendar.
You might mark the time. Okay, thanks, Scott. Okay, Dorothy Jones, Mayor of Matsuburo, please.
If I might, I'd like to ask that the aide from Senator Cotulla and the aide from Representative Larson's office join me at this time.
Okay.
If they like, and you can ask any questions.
Would appreciate it if you would all, table.
Can you hear me, or would you like me to use the mic?
No, you don't have to. Right. We're off the teleconference network. As each one of you speak, we'd like to have you just identify yourself to begin with.
Okay, I'm Dorothy Jones, Mayor of the Matanuska Susitna Borough, where this particular district is pretty much located. I'd like to say that we have worked with our delegation, with the offices, do agree with the bill as it's now written and the amendments as now in the bill, and totally support it. Many of the recommendations that are now in the bill are some that came right from our office.
I'm Jenny Lawson from Senator Cotulla's office, and I'm just here to answer questions if you want to know more about the area, or I can give you a brief history of how we got started.
Do you support and also, the bill, Jenny?
Do I support the bill? Ed Grasser also can answer questions.
ahead.
Yeah, my name is Ed Grasser. I'm an aide to Representative Larson. And I'd like to reiterate that Representative Larson is in full support of this piece of legislation and that I'm here to answer any questions.
Representative Jenkins.
Yes, Jenny, I'd be interested in that brief history.
Okay. Well, what it is the Neltina public use area. And we have a map up here showing the whole area. And what we were primarily concerned with is the core area. You can see the little blue line here. And that makes up about 1 million acres. The total size is 2.3 million. And the core is the calving ground of the herd, of the caribou herd. It is the most intensively recreational hunted herd in Alaska due to its accessibility from both Anchorage and Fairbanks. Last year, we had 12,000 Alaskans apply for 1,900 permits. And it is felt that the only way to protect the herd is to put this land in public ownership, retain it in public ownership. The area has a wealth of other fish and wildlife and recreational opportunities and mineral resources. And we've tried to keep the bill as open to mineral entry as we can. And fish and game, one of the key points in the bill, fish and game has concurrence on the management plan in the core area. They only have consultation in the peripheral area. And as we said earlier, by referencing the Susitna area plan, we can use what has already been done in that in further refining the Neltina plan. If what they're doing.
Perhaps you can answer. Of the 2 point some million, how much is eventually going to be state land?
Perhaps DNR could better answer that question.
For the record, I'd like to note the attendance of Representative Thompson, Representative Miller.
If I could, I'd just like to urge the committee to please pass it out today.
Representative Thompson.
Was that an amendment? I wasn't sure. Mayor, I wonder if you could tell me about access. How is it at the moment, and will this require any funding to provide it if it's not satisfactory?
The traditional use access has been, and with the addition of the use of motorized vehicles, the ATVs and the like, can get back in there just as they have in the past. There'll be no changes. So if there's that heavy of use right now that exists, it will continue to exist without any constraints on the access. There are no roads, per se, built there. There are many trails, but there are no real roads back in there that I could say would take you back to the calving ground. But they do use ATVs, they do use the hiking.
They
use
get in there.
Yes. They use it from all both angles. Eddie, maybe you can add to it.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Representative Thompson, there's a off-road vehicle trail that starts from a gravel pit just north of the Eureka Roadhouse. It's called the Old Man Access Trail. The trail into the Oshetna River, which is approximately 70 miles away into the interior part of the core calving area, is at some times of the year passable by a regular four-wheel drive vehicle like a Ford Bronco or Chevy Blazer or something like that. It's mostly utilizes the gravel bars and running into that area and does go overland from the highway, which at the trailhead at the gravel pit, to the Little Neltina River, then runs up the Little Neltina River, over Horse Pasture Path to the Little Oshetna River, and down to the Oshetna River, and accesses a lot of that country back there.
There's a lot of pack animals used in that area as well, horseback. But it wouldn't constrain any of those uses, and wouldn't change any of the use. And that's one of the reasons that we felt comfortable with it. I didn't really want to build a whole big road to go back there either.
That's a 70-mile road.
Yes. One of the other things I'd like to just share with you is that this is not something that we really discussed a lot, but I live in a northern area like that, and this does and will help protect some of the watershed for the Matsu Borough. And that's not something that has been discussed a whole lot in our borough, but water quality is becoming a real concern in many areas of the state, and this will help protect that watershed of our borough.
Any additional questions? Thank you very much. Okay, Ron Somerville, please.
Yes, Mr.
Chairman, I won't take much of your time. My name is Ron Somerville with the Alaska Outdoor Council. I just want to say that we, too, have worked through the entire process and support the legislation and the amendments. Unless there's any questions, I won't take more of your time.
Okay, thanks, Ron. We have, okay, Jim Ayers.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Department of Fish and Game. I am Jim Ayers, Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Fish and Game. The department appreciates the opportunity to comment. We don't want to take up a lot of your time this morning. We appreciate the comments by the previous speakers, and obviously there's a lot of support for the bill. For your general information, the area is two areas. There is a core calving area that we are particularly concerned about that has been mentioned. The population of the Nalchina herd is currently about 22,000. There's about 800 animals taken a year, and our goal is to have up to 1,400 animals taken. There's a lot of interest in this particular herd. There's no similar situation in North America of having such an urban area this close to a wildlife land mammal population like the caribou herd. The low of this herd has been about 8,000, and it's been as high as 60,000. We have, again, a goal of 1,400. As far as the bill is concerned, we support the bill. The one comment that we'd like to make this morning, Mr. Chairman, is that it's our understanding that on page 2 in subparagraph C that the second sentence, the third sentence that begins with exploration, development, and extraction of subsurface resources shall be allowed in a manner. That's a change from the Senate Finance version, which said so long as it occurs in a manner that is compatible with the purposes. And we've talked, with different people, including some of the miners who's over on the Senate side. We don't see any problem with that. As a matter of fact, we think in most cases that placer mining and those activities that are currently going on will continue to go on. The bill provides for existing rights to continue, and we support that effort. And it's our understanding that although this is a change in language, it's not a change in the intent that those things and additional activity will be allowed in that core calving area so long as it occurs in a manner that's consistent and compatible with those primary purposes, which I've mentioned. There's also a lot of fishing and hunting and trapping, fishing and trapping in addition, and wildlife viewing, and as well as the other access that other people talked about. So we support the bill, Mr. Chairman, and if there's anything that, any answers, any questions that I can answer, or...
I might just add that on getting that quota up from 800 to 1,400, we won't have any trouble in doing that. We've got a land disposal scheduled out in that area, so, yeah, which is in my district. So we'll be able to get those quotas up to where, yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We appreciate the opportunity to work with you in that area.
Representative Pierce.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jim, the herd, the Nalchina herd, used to number 70,000 animals, and it's now 25,000. Is that a balanced number that Fish and Game would like to attempt to keep it at? And if so, how can you raise the take to 1,400 animals a year?
Right now, as I mentioned, the take is 800. The goal would be 1,400, but we would want to see the herd come closer to 40,000 before we're able to reach that goal. And
you're not going to go out next year and have 1,400?
No, that's correct.
Okay.
We are not. And until the population increases, we will not pursue that goal. We will only increase that take as the goal or as the population of the herd increases.
Do caribou go through a natural cycle somewhat like deer, or rather, not as much like deer?
I'm not a biologist. I'm an economist by trade, and although it's somewhat like attorneys getting them to answer that kind of a question, although there might be one in the audience that would like to differ even with that opinion. But they differ on what caused the herd to take a dramatic decline. In some cases, they believe that it was a combination of both a severe winter, a high predator take, not a reduction in the human take or the hunting take, as well as then some impact in the calving areas. And it was a combination of features they believe that took the herd lower when it reached its all-time low, which we believe to be about 8,000. We think that now it's being managed in a way, that herd is being managed and its habitat being managed in a way that we will approach 40,000. At that point, we'll increase it, we hope, to
14,000. Okay. One more. This is going to sound like a dumb question, but I really don't understand it. When you talk about impact in the calving areas, does that mean that the animals have to go ahead and calve? Does that mean that they don't breed because there's going to be an impact, because there's an impact, and they breed and then come back to the same area to calve? Or how does the fact that there's something built in the calving area stop the animals from calving?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Pierce, the debate, as I understand it, has been that the caribou and actually Ron Somerville could probably help me out here, but my understanding is, in the debate among the biologists, is that the caribou generally have primary calving areas, and they have that based on the ground, availability of food in close proximity, and actually protection up for the north. It has to do with blowflies and predators. In this area, it has to do with both predators as well as the surface water. There are only a few areas where the caribou will actually go to as a primary calving area. There are now some debates about whether there are secondary areas if that primary area, for some reason, is jeopardized. But that they continue to breed, but there's a higher mortality rate, I think, is the answer to your question.
Okay, is the mortality rate that the fetus doesn't go ahead and develop, or a higher mortality rate after the animals are actually born?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Pierce, my understanding is that it's both,
okay,
that there's a higher mortality rate at birth, problem actually with birth, and then in the first few days of survival.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Any more
additional questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And again, we can have those people from the new community of Nebesnaville. There's 450-some families down there with more moving in all the time to that free land.
Fine, Mr. Chairman. Maybe we can get together and work up a fit. They should be armed.
They are armed. The troopers in Glen Allen can testify to that. Anyway, I would entertain a motion to move House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for Senate Bill 35, Resources, amended from committee.
Mr. Chairman, I would make a motion that we move House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for Senate Bill number 35, Resources, out of committee with individual recommendations.
Are there objections? Hearing none. House Committee Substitute, Committee Substitute, Sponsor Substitute for Senate Bill 35 has moved from committee with individual recommendation. With that, Resources adjourned.
Oh, well, thank you.